As my good friend Chris has been kind enough to mention on many podcasts before now, I'm old. I remember growing up to nicknames like Jerry Cheesy Cheevers and Eddie Mr. Entertainer Shaq. These nicknames were actually interesting. Today's nicknames, we just don't get any that are of interest at all. I mean, Patrick Kane, they nicknamed Kaner. Good one. So what we thought we'd do is we'd celebrate some of the best nicknames of all time as far as skaters go. Last time it was goalies, this time it's skaters. Begin. She hitched a ride up from Frisco. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. My name's Jason. This is my friend Chris.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, Chris. You've been working a lot lately.
I have.
We haven't really talked a lot lately.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've actually been able to sit down and watch an entire NHL game because apparently the Canucks only play when I am scheduled on a night shift.
Except for this evening.
Yes.
When we're here podcasting and the game starts in 40 minutes.
Yes,
all right.
Exactly.
Let's get this done pretty quickly then, shall we? And we'll also spare some of our listeners the added drag of our personal lives.
Sounds good.
Okay.
We've done the top seven goalie nicknames.
Okay.
We're going to do the top five skater nicknames.
Five skater nicknames. Now, are we going in any kind of order this time? Is this the order that you like?
You know what? All of these are so good, I just kind of jumbled them together. I think the last two are definitely 1 and 1A.
Okay.
And the other three are in...
are like 2A and 2B.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, cool. So number five.
A little current flavor to the list.
Which is nice because, as I mentioned in the intro, modern nicknames leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
There's not a lot going on. We've got some alliteration, the Finnish Flash for Teemu Selänne.
Mm-hmm. Who else is out there?
There aren't a lot of decent nicknames.
As you mentioned last podcast, Optimus Rhyme in Toronto.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. This number five on our list here is someone that Canucks fans are absolutely going to hate.
From the dirty, rotten, stinking Chicago Blackhawks.
I see what you did there.
Did I do something funny
there? Something funny there. Jonathan Taves.
Jonathan Brian Taves.
Good Canadian lad.
He is a good Canadian kid. And, of course, he won a gold medal recently.
He won
a Stanley Cup.
That gold medal, incidentally, made him the youngest member of the Triple Gold Club.
Taking it away from...
Ooh, Le Cavalier?
Peter Forsberg.
Interesting.
Was okay. The previous owner of the title, youngest in the Triple Gold Club.
Okay.
Of course, for those of you who don't know, any hockey newbies out there, the Triple Gold Club is for any hockey player who has won an Olympic gold medal, a Stanley Cup, and a World Championship. The World Championship normally takes place at the end of our hockey season when we're still in the playoffs. So, unfortunately, it's only players who are on the crappy teams who get to go to the World Championships.
Mm-hmm.
Still, even with all of the crappy teams' cast-offs, Canada tends to win this tournament more often than not.
Yeah. Now, Taves, if it weren't for Sidney Crosby, would have a number of youngest records in the league.
Okay.
He was, you know, the youngest triple gold winner. He is now the second youngest Stanley Cup winning captain.
Really?
Yeah, behind Sidney Crosby, which is, you know, interesting. Two in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We've had exceptionally young Canadian captains
right.
winning the Stanley Cup.
Right. Well, that's not going to happen again because this year it's going to be a Swedish.
It is going to be a Swedish captain this year.
Captain, yes. Either Nicklas Lidström or
Henrik Sedin.
Henrik Sedin, yeah. Of course.
He is also the third youngest captain ever at 20 years, 79 days behind Sidney Crosby and...
Well, I'd have to guess Wayne Gretzky.
No. Vinny LeCavalier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's on his way to a great international career,
mm-hmm.
as well. Fans of the World Junior Championship are going to remember a legendary performance in 2007 when we beat the Yanks in a shootout. Jonathan Taves had three shootout goals.
That's because in international hockey, they don't have the same rules as the NHL.
Yeah, you're allowed to just keep shooting.
You're allowed to choose. The coach can choose any player they want for each individual shot.
After the first three.
Well, even in the first three.
No. No, you have to choose three Three players.
That's the NHL.
No. In international rules, you have to choose three different players.
But after
should it go to extra shooters, you can just keep recycling the same player.
I'm sorry. I didn't remember the other two shooters because all I remembered was Taves. In that tournament. So
that's because it went to extra shots, right?
Okay, it makes sense. So, of course, Jonathan Brian Taves has an interesting nickname.
It was given to him by his teammates because he has a rather somewhat glum demeanor. He was nicknamed Captain Serious.
Which has an awesome superhero feel to it.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I actually kind of like Taves. I like the way he plays.
Oh, I do too. I just wish he wasn't a Blackhawk.
But as much as I dislike the personality of Patrick Kane, I like his playing. I think the Hawks are going to have some really good teams for years to come. I think this year they got a bit of a cup hangover, and they haven't found the magical locker room presence like they did last year.
Yeah, well,
they've got a good core.
Their cap issues are going to continue to haunt them. They need to work that out.
And their goaltending. I mean, Marty Turco, the wrong choice.
Yes.
Right? I mean, Corey Crawford is getting the bulk of games right now.
Boy, he looks good.
He's a good young goalie, but is he the guy? I don't know.
Okay, so we'll see. Number five on our list, Jonathan Taves, Captain Serious. Number four on our list, we've got a Vancouver connection here.
A bit of a Vancouver connection.
Very strong one, actually. This gentleman, Frederick Wellington Taylor, dropped the ceremonial first puck at the first ever Canucks game in 1970. He was a member of the last Vancouver team to win the Stanley Cup
Millionaires.
The Millionaires back in 1919.
You and I each have gorgeous Vancouver Millionaires jerseys.
Very, very nice. Yeah, he was a two-time winner, once with Ottawa, once with Vancouver. You know, I was looking through the history of his career. Boy, did they suck at naming teams back then. He went from the original incarnation of the Ottawa Senators and was purchased from that team. He was offered a $1,500 incentive to leave that team and go play for an Ontario team known as the Renfrew Creamery Kings.
That's an awesomely terrible name.
And from there, he proceeded to the Millionaires.
By the way, can I just say, before any of this, he actually played in the Ontario Hockey Association.
Yeah.
And the hockey team's name was the Listowel Hockey Club. They didn't even bother nicknaming it. It was just...
See, I kind of like that.
Really?
I like that kind of football-y time.
So you would be okay if it were just the Vancouver Hockey Club? That would be okay with you? Would you still... You wouldn't cheer for them less than if they're the Canucks?
Well, I think if that were the culture, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Interestingly, in 1905-06, he just played for the Portage La Prairie. No name.
Just Portage La Prairie.
Just Portage La Prairie. That was it.
All right.
So you're right. There were some definite, I can't even think of the word, ironically.
You're the whiz.
I'm the vocabulary guy, and I can't think of it. There was something lacking when it came to the imagination and naming these teams.
Frederick Taylor, in 1907, was playing for the Ottawa Senators when the Governor General of Canada watched him play and was so impressed by his skating ability that he dubbed him Cyclone Taylor.
He skates like a cyclone.
And a chain of hockey equipment shops was born.
To this day, you can still buy quality gear at Cyclone Taylor Sports in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
He also worked for the Canadian government. He worked as the Commissioner of Immigration for BC and the Yukon for years and years and years.
He also ran unsuccessfully for office in 1952 as a member of the BC Progressive Conservatives. Yeah, this was a time when hockey was your side job.
Yeah, and he was quite a successful businessman when he got into the sports area. Mm-hmm. If you look at some of the pictures of this guy, he looked like a serial killer.
Not a handsome gentleman.
No.
He's, oh my goodness, does he have some eyebrows.
He is like three eyebrow hairs short of a unibrow. And man, he looks like he's taken a few shots to the noggin, this guy.
Yeah.
But he was a brilliant player, and he went into the Hall of Fame in 1947, just 2 years after it started. And he played for 16 years in various leagues across the country, mostly on the West Coast.
Number four, Cyclone Taylor.
Going on to number three, this is one of my favorite nicknames of all time.
It's really, really good.
This is a great nickname. Pat Verbeek, who I remember the most playing for the Hartford Whalers.
Mm-hmm. Also played for a number of other franchises. He was drafted by Jersey.
Played for Jersey, played for the New York Rangers, the Dallas Stars, the Detroit Red Wings. Well, everybody finishes up with the Detroit Red Wings, right? So,
and he got his nickname while he was playing with the New York Rangers.
Right, and it was Glenn Healy, now of Hockey Night in Canada,
yeah,
who called him the Little Ball of Hate.
Yes. Now, I thought that that was a standalone nickname.
Apparently it wasn't. It's the one that stuck.
Yeah.
But apparently Ray Ferraro,
who Canucks fans are going to be familiar with from the Team 1040, where he does Team the morning
1040,
show.
And he also does a lot of work with TSN.
Yeah.
One of my clients went to school with Ray Ferraro in Trail, British Columbia.
Oh.
And apparently he's an extremely intelligent man. In high school, he was in all of the advanced classes, and he was like really good at helping other people with their studies and all that kind of stuff. Very bright guy. But Ray Ferraro was dubbed by the New York Rangers as the Big Ball of Hate.
Mm-hmm. And that did not stick.
I've not heard that before until we did research for this very show.
Fascinating in and of itself.
Just because we did research. Yes. Pat Verbeek. Well, he was drafted in 1982.
Yeah.
He was playing in the 80s. In 1985, one of his thumbs was cut off in a farming accident.
Yeah.
And he had it reattached. His brother saved it and took him to the hospital, and they reattached the thumb, and he rehabilitated himself and went on to play until 2002.
And he missed a grand total of zero NHL games due to that injury.
Wow. I did not know that. That is amazing. I knew that he lost the thumb,
yeah,
but I had no idea. He didn't miss a game.
It happened in the off season, and he was ready to go in September.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Sammy Sallow. Give this guy a call, for goodness sake.
He is, to this day, the only NHL player to ever amass 500 goals and 2,500 penalty minutes.
Really?
Yeah. He won a couple of cups, I believe. He won with...
Well, I know he won one with Dallas. Didn't he win one with Detroit?
Probably. Doesn't everybody who plays for Detroit win a cup at some point?
I think that's what they do.
Well, no, I'm sure he won one with Dallas, but... whether that was his only one, I do not know.
Yes, sorry. He signed with the Dallas Stars as a free agent in 1996, and he won his first Stanley Cup in 1999.
Right. Any other tidbits on Pat Verbeek?
Not really. Like I said, I just remember him playing for the Hartford Whalers, who still have the best green jersey in NHL history.
I've always been a fan of their later jersey. The dark blue one with the silver and green trim,
yeah,
that they wore right before they moved to Carolina.
I really like the classic Hartford jersey.
Yeah.
And when I think of Hartford Whalers, I think of three guys. I think of Gordie Howe. Well, his sons kind of count inside Gordie Howe. So I think of Gordie Howe.
Yeah.
I think of Ron Francis. And I think of Pat Verbeek. Those are the three guys I remember.
Yeah.
Playing for the Hartford Whalers. Obviously, there were more. It wasn't just those three guys throughout the history of their franchise, but those are the three I remember. All right, going on to number two, the number two skater nickname of all time. A lot of people name this as number one.
I like it as number two. I think it's good, but I think he gets a lot more props from people than the nickname really deserves, just because he was such a fantastic player.
This guy is hockey.
He is.
He is the prototypical player. This is a guy who, without modern nutrition and without modern training, probably could still play today's game.
Yeah.
He's one of the few guys whose playing style would actually suit him in the modern era.
Let me give you some idea of how this person was loved. At the closing of the Montreal Forum in 1996... when he was introduced, he received a standing ovation that lasted for 16 minutes from the Montreal faithful.
And deservedly so.
When he passed away in 2000, the Montreal Expos, a baseball team, wore a black number 9 patch on their uniforms for the remainder of the MLB season.
A baseball team.
A baseball team. Parliament in Quebec was suspended on the day of his passing.
And the flag at the Parliament buildings was flown at half-mast.
Yes.
Normally only reserved for heads of state, military personnel, these types of people.
Yeah. His body lay in state at the Bell Center. Of course, we are talking about...
Well, wait, there's one more.
Is there one more?
When he was suspended for several games by the NHL, the public of Montreal rioted in the streets, set fire to police cars, and looted businesses. We are, of course, talking about...
Maurice Rocket Richard.
The Rocket. The NHL has actually established a trophy for this guy.
Yes.
Because it was just decided there had to be one.
When he retired, he was the leading NHL scorer. Gordie Howe went on to surpass him, of course. He was the first NHL player to score 50 goals in a season. He was the first NHL player to record 500 goals in his career. He was an 8-time Stanley Cup winner who was only surpassed a few years later by his little brother, Henri Richard, the Pocket Rocket.
The Pocket Rocket. He had 6 overtime winners in playoffs, which at that time was remarkable because they didn't have 4 rounds to the playoffs each of 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is another thing. When we're talking about a schedule where you only played 50 games.
Yeah.
When he scored 50 goals, it was in 50 games. And that's where the 50 and 50 myth comes in. And he played in every NHL All-Star game between 1947 and 1959.
Yeah, 14 All-Star game appearances in total.
He was absolutely dominant.
Yeah, he was a boxer in high school.
He was a boxer on the ice,
and
too.
And was not afraid to drop the mitts. In 1955, the suspension that you mentioned, he received it in 1955 for punching out a linesman.
That sounds like Rocket, too. He was an extremely passionate guy.
And that suspension is going to, we're going to reference that in our next one, in our number one
nickname. In the number one nickname of all time. By the way, can you name the only person to pass Maurice Richard with most Stanley Cup overtime winners?
Yes, because I have that statistic in front of me.
All right.
Joe Sakic.
Burnaby Joe Sakic. Also with a great nickname, Local Boy, from Burnaby, British Columbia.
So number 2, Maurice Rocket Richard. Number 1 on our list is a gentleman who played his entire career in the shadow of the Rocket.
Well, he was the second guy to get 50 goals
in
a season.
He was the second guy to get 50 goals in the season. During the suspension that I mentioned, where Rocket Richard was suspended for punching out a linesman, Richard was leading the NHL scoring race at that time by a considerable margin. During the suspension, this player was the leader of the Habs, essentially. On the very last game of the season, passed Rocket Richard for the scoring lead. He was booed by the Montreal Forum faithful in his own building for passing Rocket Richard and winning the scoring title that year. We are, of course, talking about one Joseph André Bernard Geoffrion, also known as
Boom Boom.
And do you know why? Like, I assumed that Boom Boom had to do with his style of play, with the way he hit.
No, not at all.
He
innovated
the slap shot.
The slap shot. He was one of the guys who was kind of experimenting with how to shoot the puck.
Yeah.
And he was one of the first guys to raise his stick over his shoulders in his backswing. Guys were going up to their waist, but they weren't and wristing it because they didn't have curves on their stick back then.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to have as much control as possible. By wristing a puck, you could get it to move up a little bit.
Right.
But when you brought your stick back, because they were straight, right? You didn't actually get a lot of control. So he was one of the first guys to actually practice this to get control. And man, did he get power.
I don't know if this story is apocryphal or not, but the story that I had heard about how the curved stick came into being was somebody was frustrated during practice and smacked their stick against the post, partially breaking it, and had a bit of a crimp in the stick afterwards.
That was Stan Mikita and Bobby Hall.
Yeah.
From what I heard, it was Bobby Hull who broke the stick. And it was Stan Mikita who said, hey, give me that for a minute. That was what I heard about it.
Hmm.
And they put extra tape around the blade to keep it together. And then they saw what it did. And they hit a puck, like a few pucks in frustration. They noticed it was rising.
Yeah.
So they started to play with it a little bit. But yeah. Boom Boom is generally credited with the invention of the slap shot. So the boom boom was the sound of the puck. Boom from a stick, boom on the boards.
Great story. Great nickname. Jason, that was our top five.
Top five skaters of all time. Now, there were a lot of folks who didn't make the list.
And
the Golden Jet, Bobby Hull, and his son, the Golden Brett.
The great one, the magnificent one, Super Mario.
Mr. Hockey.
Yeah.
Right? There are so many that didn't make it, but these are the five that we decided upon, and gosh darn it, we're pucked in the head, so that's how it stands. Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main, but I'm alright. It's just a red wine stain. It's all too normal now, where once it seemed so strange. Time for a construction crane, and I'm tearing up the rules to the game. Now the moon's on the wane, I'm feeling slightly more sane. I'm riding shotgun with my stomach, and we're ready for fame. But I'm losing my grip on the reins. It's all too normal now, and once it seems so strange. Time for
thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back soon with our top Canuck nicknames of all time.
And you can't see it, but right now, I'm giving the Rocket's red glare into the microphone. So as you leave today, you be scared. Don't just be afraid. Be very afraid.